Much I wanted that bass line, but they would not give it to me. Take your Bible again, turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. I am excited about the book of Ruth. I don't know if you are or not, but I am. Praise the Lord for our heavenly Boaz. Amen. We introduced to him this morning. We're going to preach some more about him tonight. And I'm giving you part 2 to the message entitled, The Man's Name is Boaz. The man's name is Boaz. Let's pick up our reading in verse number 12 of Ruth chapter number 2. It'd help if I got there, I guess, right? Ruth chapter number 2 and beginning with verse number 12. The Bible says, The Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither, eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And we're giving you The Man's Name is Boaz, part number 2 tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us to serve you from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you for the power of your precious word. And I thank you this morning for how you've introduced us to Boaz. And Lord, we're reminded that he is a picture and a type of our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this night that you'll speak to us again from your word. May you preach this message. I pray that you'll preach to these dear people what you first of all preached to me in my study. May it be real to us, I pray. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this is going to be a repeat just to bring us up to date with where we are. As we come to chapter 2 in the book of Ruth, here we have Ruth, who is a widow. She is childless and she's a member of a cursed race, who is going out to find favor and food in the field of somebody that she does not know. The only thing that she knows when we come to chapter 2 is that she and Naomi needed to be cared for. She is completely dependent upon somebody else who will show her grace at this time. She had already determined to follow the Lord. She was not going to turn her back on the Lord. She did not spend her time moping in her troubles. She refused to sit at home. She wanted to go out in humility and search for a field to find satisfaction in. Because see, back in this day, when a widow or a lady would go out and glean in a field, she was identifying herself as a poor woman. She's being very humble at this time. And that particular day, Ruth went out. And when she came back home, we see that she brought back home about an ephah of barley that she had beaten out that day. Now again, this has been said to amount to around a bushel. And when Naomi saw what she had gleaned, she asked Ruth where she had gleaned that day. And Naomi basically said, she said, Blessed is he who took knowledge of you. And Ruth begins to speak and she says, The man's name is Boaz. Now again, this man is mentioned for the first time in the very first verse, which identifies him as a kinsman in the family of Elimelech, and it identifies him as a mighty man of wealth. Now what a blessed thought we have here that Naomi had a kinsman who was rich. And in the same way, we also have a kinsman. His name is Jesus Christ. And folks, he is rich as rich can be tonight. He owns it all. Now this man named Boaz had a field that would be sufficient for Ruth. He's a kinsman who is capable of redeeming Naomi's property. And this is a field that the Word of God says her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz. In the world's eyes, this was just a coincidence. But you and I know better than that, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ is working behind the scenes. The Lord led Ruth to the field of Boaz, and she had made a commitment to follow the Lord. She had come to trust under his wings in verse number 12. And I'm telling you, because she was in the way, God led her to the field where he had for her. Boaz's field was proven productive and promising, and the Lord led Ruth to this field, and she comes home with plenty, and she comes home with leftovers from supper. Enough to feed Naomi. We'll see this in just a moment. And she said to Naomi, the man's name is Boaz. And as we're walking through this together, thinking about Boaz, we've already started on this. I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the Word of God, there is great teaching in typology. Wait a minute. Before I say any more about that, let me say this. You've got to be very careful with typology. Because if you try to force typology, you can end up with false doctrine. There's no doubt about that. But we understand that any type in the Old Testament that is revealed in the New Testament is a legitimate Bible type. And we see that Boaz in the Old Testament, as the kinsman redeemer, as we'll see later in the book, he is an accurate picture of our heavenly kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're looking at this together. Let me just bring us back up to where we're at, and then we'll pick up where I left off. Number one, the man's name is Boaz, who saw Ruth on that day. Ruth didn't see him first. He saw her. And we see in this that Boaz is initiating the entire process. Folks, listen to me. God looked at us before we ever looked to him. He had his eye on us. We were precious in his sight, and I'm so glad that just like Boaz saw Ruth, Jesus Christ saw us. Secondly, we're looking at this together. The man's name is Boaz, who not only saw Ruth, but who spoke to Ruth. And in his speaking to Ruth, we've noticed three things thus far. We'll pick up with the fourth one. But number one under this, we notice in his speaking to her, we saw his invitation to her in verse 8 and verse 21 confirmed by Ruth, where Boaz saw her. He looked at her and said, whose damsel is this? He's interested in her. He's looking intently at her. She's caught his eye. And then he calls out to her and says, daughter. Now, when he says daughter, he's identifying his age. He's much older than Ruth here. And he's showing that he's an older man. It's not that she's his daughter, for crying out loud. He's simply saying that you're much younger than I am. And he's saying, daughter, don't go to anybody else's field. You stay here in mine. Because see, folks, Boaz knew that he had enough in his field to take care of Ruth. He knew that he had enough in his field to take care of Naomi, so he tenderly spoke to her to invite her to himself. Secondly, in his speaking, we notice his insurance for her. In verses 8 and 9, he told her, he said, I've commanded my servants to keep their hands off you. And he basically tells her that when you get thirsty, you can just go right over to the water that's in my field and take a drink. He's saying, if you stay here with me, I'm giving you my promise, my insurance, that I will protect you and I will provide for you. And if you come in my field, you will never be thirsty. You can always have something to drink. Then we notice number three, and this will bring us right where we're at. We saw in his speaking not only his invitation to her, his insurance for her, but number three, we notice his intelligence of her. Because in verses 11 and 12, we understand Ruth didn't even know about Boaz. Matter of fact, she didn't know who Boaz was till she came home, and Naomi tells her later, he's one of our kinsmen. She didn't know that. She didn't know anything about Boaz, but Boaz in verses 11 and 12 basically gives her her life story. And in that we see that even though she didn't know him, he knew all about her. And in the same way, Jesus Christ, he saw us. He looked intently at us. We caught his eye, just like Zacchaeus did that day. And I'm telling you, just like blind Bartimaeus did that day, God has looked at us. And when he looked at us, he tenderly began to speak to us and to invite us like Boaz did to his field, because Jesus knows that he has what our heart's searching for. And he says, if you come to me, I'll give you my promises. I'll protect you and I'll take care of you, and you'll never thirst again. And he tells us, number three, he tells us our life story. And even though we don't know much about the Lord at first, he knew all about us, and he still wanted us in his field. Now that brings us up to date to where we are tonight. Number four, there's a fourth thing we notice about his speaking to her. He not only get it now, we not only see his invitation to her, his insurance for her, his intelligence of her, but we see his interest in her. What I'm talking to you about is in verse number 12, look at it. Here's Boaz speaking to Ruth. And he said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." In this verse, folks, we see Boaz appealing to the Lord of heaven to recompense her work, to pay back her work, if you will, and give her a full reward. See, the point I'm trying to make here is how Boaz was speaking to Ruth because he wanted Ruth to have a full reward. His interest in her was that she would be fully rewarded and that her life would be fully blessed and that she would never run out of his blessings. What I'm saying to you is this. He was interested in seeing that Ruth received a blessing from God. You know why God speaks to man today? You know why he speaks? Because he's interested in you having a full reward. There are many people today who are afraid of God's voice. There are many people today who run when God speaks. There are people today who are lost and they know it, and through all of that, they will turn a deaf ear to God. When the whole time, all God is trying to do when he speaks to them is bring them to himself and give them what their heart's desiring. This is a beautiful picture we have here. And what I'm saying to you here is that we see in his speaking that he not only knew all about her, but he wanted God's best for her. When God speaks to you, by the way, it's a privilege when God speaks. And when God speaks to you, he's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to make your life miserable. He speaks to you because he wants to give you blessings. This is what Boaz is doing. Boaz is looking at her and he says, "I know all about you. I know you don't know much about me, but I know a whole lot about you." And he's saying, "I'm interested in you and I want you to have all God has for your life. I want God, I'm talking about, to give you a full reward, and I'm speaking to you on God's behalf." You know, this is a beautiful picture we have of the Lord. What a blessing for Ruth on this day. When Boaz, the one who owned the field, I'm talking about the field and everything that was in it, the man who owned it, she had this man stop and look at her. She had this man to notice her. She had this man to begin to speak to her. And I'm telling you that in his speaking, he extended an invitation for her to stay in his field. He ensured her of his protection and his provision. He had knowledge of her and was interested in her receiving a full reward. Even she said in verse number 13 that he had spoken friendly to her. Oh, I love that word, friendly. Ruth said, "You've spoken to me, and you've spoken to me friendly." You know, this reminds me of some verses in the New Testament. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, talking about he spoke to her. The Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." I'm trying to paint a picture for you in this chapter here, that what Boaz did for Ruth is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Boaz saw Ruth. Boaz spoke to Ruth. Number three, we see the man's name is Boaz, who served Ruth. We see this in verse number 14. Notice the language. "Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither and eat of the bread." By the way, whose bread was it? It was Boaz's bread. Whose meal was it? It was Boaz's meal. "And dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he," Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat meat, and was sufficed and left. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture. In this verse, we see Boaz invites Ruth to come and eat at his table at mealtime. The Bible tells us that she sat beside the reapers, and Boaz reached her parched corn. This tells us that Boaz was there close enough to Ruth to hand her food from his own hands. In this we see Boaz, get this now, get it. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Boaz came to where Ruth was sitting and provided for her from his own hand. He became like the servants to show grace and love to a stranger. You know, in the same way, the lovely Lord Jesus came into this world and he became flesh in order to extend grace and mercy and love to us. He identified himself with us just like Boaz identified himself with his reapers and identified himself with this stranger from Moab. He has sit where we sit. He has come to us and he's invited us to come to him. And he wants us to sit with him at his table. And when we come to him, he will graciously reach us from his own precious nail-scarred hand exactly what we need. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Ephesians 2:4 through 7, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Who is the man that you found grace? Who is the man where you got all of this barley from? Who is the man, Ruth, who showed you favor and wonder and grace? Who is this man? And the only thing that Ruth could say is, "I don't know too much about him, but I can tell you this, I know his name. The man's name is Boaz." "Who is he, Ruth?" "He's the one who saw me in the field." "Who is he, Ruth?" "He's the one that spoke to me, Naomi. And when he spoke to me, he invited me to stay with him." Oh, what a man this is. "He spoke to me and he gave me insurance that if I'll stay in his field, he'll protect me and he'll provide for me." And oh, Miss Naomi, can I say something to you? I don't know much about him, but he knew a whole lot about me. He knew all about me. He knew about my husband dying back in Moab. He knew that I turned my back on my family. I don't know who all he is, but he seems to know all there is to know about me. Who is this man, Boaz? He spoke to me, and in all of this, he showed me he's interested in me. He prayed for me, and he said, "I want God to give you a full blessing." Who is this man, Ruth? He's Boaz. What did he do for you? He saw me. He spoke to me. Can I tell you something else he did for me, Miss Naomi? You know, I went into that field, and I'm gleaning. I'm poor. I'm a widow. He didn't even have to look my way. And if he just looked my way and he just saw me and just didn't say a word but just let me glean for today, that'd be enough. But you know what Boaz did? Dear mother-in-law, you know what Boaz did for me? He asked me to eat with him. And when I got there, instead of me serving him, he got up and served me. Boy, what a beautiful picture. I'm telling you, who is this man? The man's name is Boaz. He saw her. He spoke to her. He served her. But then number four, this man's name is Boaz. The man's name is Boaz. Number four, who satisfied her. He satisfied Ruth. We see this in verses 14 to 19. I'm not going to read it again for time's sake, but I'm just going to lift out one word. Look at verse number 14, the last phrase, "and was sufficed and left." Look at verse number 18. The last phrase, "and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed." You know what that word "suffice" there means? It means to be satisfied. It means to be filled to satisfaction. In other words, here's this dear lady going out this day to try to find food just so they don't starve to death. And he not only lets her glean enough for 5 days, he sits her down at his own table, lets her put her feet under his table, and reached her enough corn and kept reaching it and kept reaching it and kept reaching it until the Bible says she was sufficed. She was satisfied. And she was so satisfied that she said, "Can I have a doggy bag to take some home to my mother-in-law?" I'm not trying to make a connection there, please. Doggy bag and mother-in-law, excuse me. That came out wrong, didn't it? I realize somebody would take that and run with it, so I'm just trying to clear myself here. "Can I have a bag for my leftovers?" And she comes home, and she not only shows this almost of a bushel of barley that she beat out that day, she said, "Oh, Miss Naomi, here's the leftovers from his deal." I'm talking about from the meal where he asked me to come sit with him. What I'm trying to say to you folks is that when she stayed where Boaz told her to stay and she obeyed the Lord, I'm telling you that when she was searching for food to satisfy her and her mother-in-law, when she came into the field of Boaz, he not only welcomed her in his field, but we see that he satisfied her every need. Now there's two things he did right here in satisfaction. First of all, he satisfied her hunger in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And Boaz said unto her, Mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left." Again, I've told you that this word suffice means to fill to satisfaction. In other words, she was hungry. She had a need. She had a void. And in her own personal need, she found satisfaction at the table of Boaz. And I'm telling you that the only place you will have personal satisfaction, I'm talking about the void that's inside every human being when they're born. There are so many people taking that void in their life and they're trying to fill it with so many things. That's why you see people going to drugs and alcohol and family. I mean, even good things. They think that will satisfy me. A bigger house. Give me that boat. Let me get that job. Let me move there. I'm all over the place you have people trying to fill that void inside their life. The problem is they're in the wrong field. The problem is that satisfaction is only found in the field of Boaz. And when you get to Boaz's field and you eat with him, he'll reach you parched corn until it stuffs you to the gills. He'll satisfy you. May I say this to you as well, even as children of God? Now we realize that all this is a picture of salvation. I understand that, but let me apply it this way as well. Until we go to God for our needs, we'll be miserable too. What I mean by that is this. The sooner we understand that Jesus Christ is the answer to everything in life, the sooner we understand that, the better off we're going to be. You cannot be satisfied in anything or anybody outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your marriage will never be completely satisfactory if you're trying to build it among yourselves. It will not happen that way. I'm talking about your life, young people at school, at work, in retirement, whatever. I'm just applying to wherever you're at. You can only be satisfied when you are pushing up your feet under the table of your heavenly Boaz. I'm telling you, he satisfied her hunger. But then number two, he satisfied her, here we go now, with handfuls on purpose. We see this in verses 15 to 16. Notice it. "And when she was risen up to glean." Now what's that mean? That means she had left the dinner table and she's now back out in the fields and she's not there to hear Boaz. So Boaz, when Ruth gets up, he begins to speak to his servants. Boaz commanded his young men, verse 15, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not." Now, what does all this mean? Here's what I'm saying to you. When Ruth got up and left the table, Boaz commanded his servants to let her glean among the sheaves. What's that mean? Well, see, back in this day, these folks who were coming just to glean the leftovers, the widows, the strangers, the poor, they were not allowed up close to where everybody else was gleaning. They weren't allowed to get very close. They had to keep their distance. They had to stay way back. You know what Boaz is telling his workers? Let her come a little closer. Let her get just a little bit more, I'm talking about a little closer to you. And when she gets closer to you, she's coming closer to the sheaves, don't you rebuke her. Because I'm telling you, I want her to come closer. I'm telling you, this blesses my heart, my dear. And then he says, here's what I want you to do. When she's getting close, he says, I want you to look to your right. You won't find this in your Bible. And I want you to look to your left. And I want you to look at her and make sure she's not looking. And you take this, I'm talking about some of the best I've got. You take the best I have to offer. And when she's not looking, just go, boop. Because see, in the Old Testament, listen to me, whatever they dropped, they were not to go back and get it. So he's saying, let some of the best stuff I have fall off on purpose. Now, I don't know if you're getting what God's trying to show us here. And I don't know what all those handfuls on purpose are, but I sure like it when I grab a bunch of them, don't you? Here's all I'm saying to you, that Boaz is satisfying Ruth. He's saying she's hungry, and I don't want any of you to feed her. I'm going to hand it to her out of my own hand. Here you go. He served her. By the way, it's his bread. And he could have given it, and he said, just pass one down to her. Pass one. No. Can't you just see him sitting there looking over at her? She might be scared. I don't know. She may be scared. Who knows? She's sitting among people she doesn't know. This man's, just been extremely gracious to her. Don't you think she'd have been happy if they'd have just passed the bowl down to her? Wouldn't you have been? But all of a sudden she looks up, and there's Boaz, stands to his feet. He says, here you go. It's my bread. It's my corn. But I want to make sure you get it, so I'm bringing it to you myself. She gets up. She's satisfied. They have packed her bag to go home. She has leftovers. She gets up and she goes back to work, and Boaz says, okay, boys, you listening? See that girl out there? She's caught my eye. Amen. I can identify that in my own life. Remember the first time I saw Becky? She's watching tonight, I hope. This is for you, sweetheart. Here's what I'm saying. First time I saw her, I was like, who is that? I can identify with Boaz. He saw her and she caught his eye. But here's the beautiful thing about our heavenly Boaz. There's nothing pretty about us when God saw us. We were dressed in filthy rags. We were sinners. And Jesus looked down upon us. And I'm telling you that Boaz looked at his servants and he said, here's what I want you to do. I know she's supposed to stay back, but I want you just to let her come a little bit closer. And then I want you to take the best I've got, and I want you to drop some on purpose. Now in this, we see a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture of Boaz and also our heavenly Boaz. See, listen to me. Boaz knew that he had enough in his field. And because she had come into his field, now get this, listen, sometimes you can just let a statement just go right by you and you don't think about it. Think about this statement. Boaz knew he had enough to satisfy her. He knew he did. He had an overabundance. He was rich. And when this girl came into his field and when she accepted his invitation and she stayed with him, Boaz was not going to send her away wanting anything. What I'm saying to you, she had fallen at his feet in verse number 10, I believe it is, yes. She had fallen at his feet. She had submitted to him. She recognized his grace. She looked away from her poverty and she was looking to him. And when she did that, he was not going to send her away needing anything. Now, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly what this world is looking for. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that you and I have been looking for. He's the one who can truly satisfy the personal hunger around the globe today. And while the world is searching for meaning and contentment and satisfaction, it's found in the field of our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. When an individual bows at his feet and looks to him for salvation, and they obey him and they stay in his field, he'll never turn them away empty. They'll always go home with leftovers. He'll satisfy their every need. I'm telling you, can't you just see the Lord Jesus Christ? Here he is up in heaven. He's rich just like Boaz, but much more than Boaz. He owns it all. He's the creator of all things. And he looks down upon this world and he sees lost mankind wandering around, strangers. They've lost everything, tragedies in their life. And all of a sudden he calls out to them and says, hey, come to my field. I've got enough here for you. And if you come to my field, I'll take care of you. And I'll protect you. And I'll provide for you. And I not only want you to come to my field, I want you to come to my supper table. And I want you to eat where I eat. And when you come to my supper table, I'm not going to give my servants to serve you. I'm going to get up and serve you myself. As I'm talking about as Lord of all, King of kings. I'll take my bread. I am the bread of life. And I'll serve your every need. And then you come and you bow before him and you recognize his grace and you accept him as your Savior and you come under his wings, verse number 12, and you are trusting him. He turns to his heavenly servants and he says, I'll tell you one thing. Man, this is blessing my heart. He says, I want them. Listen, I know the law says back and get them back and get them back, but my blood has made it. Let them come closer. Let them come a little bit closer to me. I'm telling you, I want them closer. Come, bring them closer to me. Let them get as close as they want to get. And then when they're not looking, and maybe when they least expect it, I want you angels and all of my servants, I want you to wrap a big sheaf together of my handfuls on purpose. And I'm talking about when they least expect it, I want you to drop it right there in their lap. And I want you just to remind them that because they chose my field, they'll never go home wanting anything. They'll never go home hungry. They'll never go home thirsty. And just like Boaz says, you stay here, you can drink. If you get thirsty, go drink over there. I'm telling you, when you glean in the field of Jesus Christ, your thirst will always be quenched. He's the living waters. I'm telling you, I'm not doing a great job of painting a picture here, but I trust the Holy Spirit of God is showing you that Jesus Christ has done a whole lot more for you than Boaz could ever do for Ruth. But what a beautiful picture we have of our heavenly Boaz. I'm telling you, what a thought. The Bible says in John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Isaiah 55:1-3, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Come ye buy and eat, ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and even the sure mercies of David. Psalm 36:7-9, How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall abundantly be satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Psalm 65:4, Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Psalm 103:2-5, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107:8-9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. In this chapter, we see Ruth going out to find food in the field of one that she didn't even know, but she knew whoever it was going to have to show her mercy. However, we see that she found much more than food in Boaz's field. She went to get some food. That's all she's looking for. But when she got there, she found so many other things. She found hope in that field. She found safety in that field. She found refreshment and promise and goodness and kindness and blessing in that field. And I'm telling you, in the same way, when an individual is searching for grace, let them go to the field of the heavenly Boaz. Let them go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will meet your immediate need and will give you everything you're searching for and a whole bunch more. This is the picture of Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 to 19. And I leave you with this thought. And I've enjoyed myself. I'm telling you, I'm thinking about my heavenly Boaz. And I'm thinking about Ruth coming home with those leftovers. I'm thinking about her carrying that almost bushel of barley that she had beaten out. By the way, I don't think I'd mess with Ruth, do you? Hallelujah, what a worker she was. And she came home with all those kind of things. And Naomi sees all of this. And she says, tell me, Ruth, who is it that showed you favor? Who is it that took knowledge of you? And Ruth, she doesn't know much about him right now, but she said, all I can tell you, Naomi, is the man's name is Boaz. And that Boaz has provided for me. And that Boaz, our heavenly Boaz, has provided for you. And I'm telling you, I'm gleaning in that field, and I'm having the time of my life. He's keeping his word in my life. And I'm so glad when he invited me to come glean in this field, I'm so glad I fell at his feet. And I said, why have you taken knowledge of me? A stranger, somebody that doesn't deserve anything. I'm telling you, the lovely Lord Jesus, he says, I don't only want you to be here, I want you to stay here. And I want you to eat with me. And I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to take you to heaven. And I'm going to provide your need. And I'm going to stuff you to the gills. And I'm going to send you home with leftovers. And I'm telling you, what a picture. What a picture. The Word of God is powerful. And we rejoice in that the man's name is Boaz. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, I thank you for helping me preach. Lord, I pray that you take this stammering tongue. And I pray, Lord, that you take these simple thoughts. And Holy Spirit, you drive home what you're teaching us. The thought is not only for salvation, but also in the Christian life, that true satisfaction is only found in the field of Boaz. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I wonder tonight, have you trusted the heavenly Boaz? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you truly been saved? Are you born again? Has there been a time in your life when you've bowed at His feet, asked Him to come into your heart, forgive your sin? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you have, then you know in your heart that what I'm preaching is the truth. Jesus Christ satisfies. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Him as your Savior, He has said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Maybe you're here tonight and there's a need in your life. You're a Christian, but there's a special need in your life. The devil says, get out of his field. Go, listen, what you're looking for is found in somebody else's field. Oh, that's a lie of the devil. The Lord has promised that in His field you'll find protection. And in His field you'll find provision. Don't you run outside of the field of the Lord. You stay in the field of the Lord and you keep gleaning. Or maybe the Lord is just speaking to you about just showing gratitude to Him. I'm talking about just showing a thankful heart of what He's done in your life. Aren't you glad that your heavenly Boaz saw you in the past? Aren't you glad that the heavenly Boaz not only saw you, but there was a day, I'm talking to you if you're saved. Aren't you glad He not only saw you, but He spoke to you? And when He spoke to you through His word, He was saying, I'm taking interest in you. He saw us. He took knowledge of me. We caught His eye. And he looked intently at us. And when he did that, he said, I want to speak to that person right there. And in his speaking, he invited us to come to his field. Oh, he not only invited us, but he gave us insurance that if we come to his field, he'll provide for us and protect us. Oh, he not only gave us insurance, but he showed us his intelligence of us, that even though we didn't know much about him, he knew all about us. And he showed his interest in us, that the reason he's speaking is because he wants a full reward for us. And when she submitted to him, he turned his speaking into service. And he came to where she was sitting, invited her where he was sitting, and he served her out of his own hands. And because he did that, he satisfied her. And she was stuffed to the gills and had a bag of leftovers to take home to her mother-in-law. And folks, I'm telling you, that's what the Lord is doing in our lives. Maybe you just want to come and say, Jesus, thank you for speaking to me many years ago, many months ago, whenever you were saved. Maybe you just want to come and say, Jesus, thank you that you not only saw me, but thank you that you spoke to me. Thank you for serving me. Can you imagine the God of the universe serving me and serving you? And we know he satisfies, amen or not. There's a lost world that needs to hear this story. I don't know how God's dealing, but let's just do business with him. You need to be saved, you come. Let us share with you how you can know the Lord. You need to come and have a need met. It's found in the field of Boaz. You need to come and just say, God, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for initiating the process. Thank you for satisfying me. The Lord is pleased. Father, take it, use it in a great way. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing, If God is Speaking to You. Maybe many of you just want to come and say, God, thank you for speaking to me. As he sings, come on, come on now. Come on and talk to the Lord. Come on now, as he sings, come on.
Out of my bondage,
oh, just come and say, thank you, sweet Boaz. Thank you for seeing.
Jesus, I come.
Thank you, Boaz,
Jesus,
for speaking to me.
Into
thank you, sweet heavenly Boaz, for serving me.
Gladness
thank you, sweet
light.
Boaz, for
Jesus, I
satisfying
come
my needs.
To thee.
This is it. This is it.
Out of my sickness into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee.
They're still playing through. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're just about through with, there are folks being dealt with at the altar. The Lord has his different ways of speaking to us. And the emphasis of this message is that Boaz did for Ruth what Ruth could not do for herself. And our heavenly Boaz has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. Let us never forget our heavenly Boaz. I dare say that Ruth never forgot Boaz. We'll see later on in the book that even though this book opens with death, it ends with birth of a man named Jesse. King David's on his way. And God included Ruth and Boaz. All I'm saying to you, I know most of you can just hear my voice, but all I'm saying to you is that our sweet Boaz has done a whole lot for us. Let us never forget him. Don't ever forget him. Amen. I appreciate you coming tonight. God bless you. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. It reminds you of the widow's meeting up here to my left, your right. Brother Gary's meeting with the children and their parents. Brother
yes,
Gary.
Sir.
Children and their parents. And then Brother Bob would like to meet with high school seniors and parents in the middle section. So we've got a meeting going on here, a meeting going on here, and a meeting going on here. Okay. okay? So you just go where you need to be. And if you're in the wrong place, you'll figure it out, okay? That'd be good. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we remind you, take your visitor's card out. If you're seated around somebody you don't recognize, shake their hands. God bless you. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. That'd be good. Okay? Wonderful. Brother Ira Hay, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.